Welcome back to the Erling Room Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, I get carried away,
man. We were doing radio off the air. That was good.
Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people are the government, ultimately. Second, the Republicans are the pro-death party. I wanted to say that on the your program that you've set up, I know you say it's all the guys, but it's you because you haven't made it into a moneymaker like a lot of nonprofits have done. So my hat's off to you, Earl. But there is something in terms of familiarity breeding contempt. And I think that's true in every aspect of the human being. And I think what's great is when these children around their parents, they find, you know, different ways of how to manipulate their parents. So you were asking before why it is that it works better when someone comes into their life for a short period of time and can make a difference. I know when I coached football, even that, you know, the coach, because he was also a teacher in the school, and he was a certain type of teacher, but the thing is the kids actually knew how to manipulate that coach, and they really did not respect that coach as much as me, the person that just came, you know, once a day for practice.
Well, that's because your dad was a football coach.
Absolutely.
You grew up around that,
I do think Tom's right. I mean, I have the same experience. I coached football for a while at a school, and I do think that the non-teacher coaches had an advantage.
No question.
In that the relationship they had with the kid was very, very particular, and it had a particular flavor to it. But I do just think that non-parental involvement with kids can have a big effect, and particularly kids who are lacking parental involvement at home. So I
100%. And don't you agree, Sandy, that when you see a kid, so like myself, I'm about 6'3", 245, and or 240, and I played linebacker.
Wow.
So where did you go to high school in Milwaukee, Tom?
No, Wisconsin.
No, Durand, Wisconsin.
Durand, huh? I'm not sure.
Durand, 30 miles south of Eau Claire.
Six three, 245, man. You wound up with a scholarship, right?
Yeah, I actually played at St. Norbert.
I figured. Yeah, 6'3", 245. Come on. Yeah, that's a monster.
But the thing is, you know, I would come on the practice field like at Hollywood High, and those kids would just kind of look at me in awe because, honestly, I also would do every single drill along with them. So I wasn't someone that's just sitting there with a whistle and saying, hey, do this, do that. I would actually do the drills with them, and I would continue to do that. And I think for some reason, because they didn't see me but once a day for those 2 hours, and I'm a pretty strict person in the first place because I think kids at that age are craving discipline.
No question.
And craving not being a person also that grew up being a gay kid. When I coach, it's all about football. It's not about talking about your girlfriend. It's not talking about all of this other stuff. It is about football. It is about, you know, getting off the ball on time if you're an offensive lineman. Yeah. And, it's about tackling and
So, Tom. Yeah. Man, I ran the largest tackle football league in the state for 20 years. And just stopped doing that 2 years ago. Had 800 boys, ages 6 to 14. And I'll tell you something. This was the time of the year when my juices would start. I mean, I missed that. The thing about football and the impact that it has on children in those kinds of things, especially young children, is immeasurable if the coaches understand just what it is they're doing. It's not absolutely just about making them a great football player.
Well, yeah, I think the problem lots of youth. The problem lots of
it's
youth
not
sports.
All about winning.
It's not about
right.
That's just what I was going to say. The problem a lot of youth sports have is that all they want to talk about with their kids is the outcome. You know, did you win or lose? And that's not even anywhere.
No.
The process is what's important. I know I coach rowing, but to me,
it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. What it is, what these kind of things do is it's a crucible. It puts some steel into you, and it creates a connection between effort and results, and you just have to, and discipline and outcome, and the outcome isn't whether you win or lose. The outcome is how you feel about what you're doing and how much success you experience personally in what you're doing. So, Tom,
and
you
I
know,
don't care what it is, as long as a kid is active, as long as the kid is moving, they're not getting themselves in trouble in other areas.
So
and
Tom,
the thing is, we got to keep them moving, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whatever it is.
So Tom,
leadership there.
Tom,
yeah.
I played football, right? And I was not a star player. And so I was what they would call a bench warmer, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I would get in if the score was 100-0. Hey Ingram, the guy with the megaphone, all the way down at the end of the bench, right? Ingram. Well, the score is 100-0. There's two minutes left.
But you know what?
So my point, Sandy, I wanted to make the point. The point was, but I learned the values of it. And so when I would tell my coaches, you coach the same way to all the kids, not just the star kids.
Well, what you have to understand about sports is that practice is much more important than games.
Than the games, that's
because
correct.
You practice 5 days a week, and you have a game one day a week. And practice is where you learn whether you're tough or not. Practice is where you learn to focus. Practice is where you learn effort. Practice is everything. Games are frosting.
Yeah, that's the show.
Yeah, it's the show. It's not the goal.
The practice is the journey, and the game is just the show. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, if you guys look up, my dad, his name is Peter Adler, and he was the head of the Wisconsin High School Football Coaches Association. He also, was a coach for 40 years, in 30 in Durand and 10 in Plum City. But definitely, that day goes by. He passed away about 5 years ago. That it's about one play at a time. And it's also about if you can look yourself in the mirror after the game is done and say, I gave it 110%, then you have nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, so the lessons, and I used to tell the coaches, the lessons, and especially I would tell them, you guys are dealing with children very young, 6 to 14 years old, and you can make a kid either love the game or never, ever want to play it again. And it would bother me that I would have a guy screaming and yelling at a 7-year-old for missing a block. Hey man, I see the pros missing blocks.
Well, I talked to my grandchildren and others about this. When I was a kid, we'd play sandlot, whatever, sandlot football, sandlot baseball, basketball. We'd play for hours. We'd get home. My parents
for the fun of it.
My parents never once asked me whether we won or lost.
I know.
They'd ask me whether I had fun. When we played sandlot games, if a team won twice in a row, you'd remake the teams.
Right. So that you wanted the competition.
Because you wanted to have competition. So, that's what practice is all about. Practice is all about.
I think Sandy, and you are right, Earl, where you say that it does take a male figure, when you're dealing with males, that are a little bit more kind of like I hate to say it, but kind of like a dog, where it's like you are the leader and you have to be the leader. And you cannot think that, when you coach football, that it's about your own ego or it's about something that you missed out on. It's actually about the kids, and it's about the kids being able to feel comfortable. That's why, like I said, growing up being a gay kid, I did everything possible where all I did was play football and practice football and do all of those types of things because of the fact that I didn't want anyone to find out that I was gay.
Right.
Yeah. So the thing is, so when I coach and I hear kids like putting each other down, I'm like, we don't have that on this team. We do. You guys are a unit. The only way we're going to win this game is by all 11 people working together.
Yeah.
And that's just the bottom line.
Hey, Tom. Man, you and I talk about a lot of different things, man, but I don't think we've had a better discussion than the one we just had right now. Thank you as always, man.
You bet, Earl.
Appreciate it. You know, Sandy.
Thank you for being the person you are.
Man, thank you. You know, Sandy.
Wait, I got a second what Tom said. I got to thank you for the person you are, too, because I think this voice of the elders is representative of what you've done throughout your life when I've known you. And I think this thing has a great future and is already working. So, you know, hats off.
Well, thank you. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. You know, Sandy, and what would happen with the football was cost a lot of money to play football.
Yeah.
Right? The equipment. And so I would...
My only problem with football is that it's not enough of a conditioning sport.
Yeah.
You know, at least and when you get into high school football, you get out of shape. By the end of the season, you're out of shape.
I know.
You're in shape to begin it because of summer football.